ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khanini?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Ukuhamba imali.
Wizi nakayihloka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Kufanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Yaba mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome to another episode of Sebenza Lives Behind the Hustle. You're joined by Tango and Ndok Ozo. How are you doing today?
I'm great, and yourself?
I'm great. It's a blue Monday, but I think we're coming in here strong on red. Mm-hmm. We're refusing to have this bad day. And we're very special guest in today.
Yes.
Talani, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
Good. Let's jump into who Talani is and what does Talani do.
Okay, so I am the COO and co-founder of Yalu Financial Services, mm-hmm. which is an insurance provider that is about a year and a half old now, mm-hmm. that specializes specifically in credit life insurance. I am actually a marketer by trade, so I've always sort of been in the marketing space within financial services. I graduated from UCT with an HR degree, believe it or not.
Wow.
And I'm a very passionate mother, and a wife, and an avid reader. In a nutshell, that's who I am.
A busy woman, in other words.
Very busy. To be a mother and a wife, and in like insurance, that is busy.
That is a lot. Let's jump back to the young Talani and what motivated her, or what kind of led to you starting a career in finance?
So yeah, that's quite an interesting one. My parents are in Lesotho at the moment, and I come from Lesotho actually, and I grew up there. So when I first graduated at UCT, I went back home because I wanted to spend time with the parents before going off and doing my own thing. And the first job I got at the time was at Nedbank Lesotho, in the marketing space, and that kind of became the start of my career in financial services. I found that it was very difficult to get out of financial services as I gained further and further experience within financial services sector. And so as I grew in my career, I moved to South Africa and focused specifically on marketing and financial services. But then I got an opportunity to sit on an exco at FNB Life, and that kind of exposed me beyond just the marketing expertise to the broader way around running an insurance business and some of the key elements and the key issues that one must consider. And you know, as I sat on this exco and found that I was yearning for more, like I wanted to do more. And I didn't quite know what the more meant, but I could feel.
I like when people think this way, because this is when a huge idea or breakthrough comes in life. I always get excited when I hear people say this.
Exactly. And the thing was that it was more because I felt like I wasn't really living my purpose. I felt like there was something more to life than me sitting in, you know, exco meetings and making a really nice check and going home, but not necessarily making a difference to, individual lives and people's, you know, the people that are the end users of our product. Because in big corporates, there's lots and lots of layers. You make decisions, but ultimately, by the time it lands with the end user, it doesn't quite look the way you had anticipated, or it doesn't add as much value. And I was questioning that value, you know, what value am I actually adding to the end user? And it just so happened that on the same executive committee sat a colleague of mine, who is my business partner now, Nkazi Sokulu. He was the chief operations officer at the time at FNB Life, and he was one of the people that started FNB Life within the FNB group. And he was also going through the same sort of very personal purpose type journey, wanting to leave a legacy. What does it mean? You know, what's my purpose? What am I living for? And we got to talking. And at the time, it just so happened that there had been new credit regulations that had come out, and specifically around credit life insurance. And there were a couple of things that were poignant about these new regulations. The one said that, you know, providers could not charge over a certain amount. So in the past, it was kind of free for all. Mm-hmm. And now they were saying, for example, for foreign, for personal loans, you can't charge over 450 per thousand. The other one was to say that providers cannot make it impossible for consumers to select the kind of credit life insurance provider that they want or whoever they want. So in the past, providers would say, here's your personal loan and here's your credit life insurance with it. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't really give you an opportunity to go find your own credit life insurance provider if you so wished. And this new regulation said, no, from now on, customers are allowed to go and find their own credit life insurance provider. But the third and most important piece, which is what the incumbents of credit life insurance had always used to stop providers from swapping or changing or switching credit life providers, was around the definitions of what credit life provide credit life insurance covers.
Okay.
So because the policies are so different and the terms and conditions are so different, what you would find is a policy would say, we cover death from one provider. Provider B would say, yes, ours says we cover death, but there is, you know, terms and conditions to what that death, what death means in this case. Therefore, we will not accept a secondary policy because the definitions are not exactly the same. So it had, the law had not quite safeguarded consumers from that perspective. So the new laws were saying that from now on, we're standardizing the definitions. One, the definition of death is death. And then the definition of... you really can't take. The definition on disability and the definition of retrenchment. And these were the things that the law said are the three principal and standard benefits that every credit life insurer must provide. Anything over and above that is a nice to have. But if a credit life insurance policy covers these three basic benefits, then, you know, you're covered. And therefore, a provider cannot refuse to cancel on that basis. So from that, because we were in the space and we, you know, we were understanding all of these regulations and trying to understand what it meant to the end user. And of course, what was happening at the time in the industry was most of the providers were scrambling to at least comply from a pricing perspective, because that was where they would obviously be at risk of getting exposed. We sort of thought, wait a minute, but this is then an opportunity to create a credit life insurance policy that would give consumers what they need from a credit life insurance policy perspective, but also give them an opportunity to go in with a policy that could cost them a lot less, that could be cheaper, that could also reward them differently. And so that's where the idea was born. At a personal level, I had lost my father 2 years prior to that. And when he passed away, he had a credit card. And at the time, my parent, my sisters and I and my mother kind of scrambled to find money to pay off the credit card, because obviously we didn't want my mother to have to keep paying it every month. And I kind of looked back at that experience as I was going through this journey of credit life insurance and starting to understand it. And I realized that my father probably had credit life insurance on the credit card that we paid. Mind you, I was working in financial services at the time, and I had been for over 10 years by then. And I didn't, it never occurred to me at the time to look for a credit life insurance policy. And that became the anchor for me around why I wanted to go into this journey, because it made me realize how many people lose their loved ones and never claim. Not because the policy isn't there, but because they don't know the policy is there. And not just when you've lost your loved one, when you've been retrenched and when you're disabled. You know, you scramble to find money to pay off your debt because you don't want to end up having a bad sort of debt profile. Actually, there's this policy that could have paid, you know. So it became kind of a life mission for me, more than just starting a business, to try and create visibility around this product, transparency, and really just get people to understand and know about it. Wow. Now,
right? how does Yalu go about this, where you guys sort of inform people on the best insurance plans that they can take?
It's actually been a really tough journey because people know a lot about insurance in general. So people will know about, you know, short-term insurance that covers my car, it covers my household contents. And the market has done a lot in terms of educating customers around those products. But when it comes to credit life insurance, it's shrouded in secrecy, very little transparency. And in particular, I mean, if you think about why the current providers would create such secrecy around the product, it's primarily because it's a very profitable product. It is probably more profitable than many of the credit products themselves because of the limitations that providers can charge on interest and that kind of thing. But on credit life insurance, they kind of had, it was a free for all, if you like. So because of that, people, if you keep the claims ratio low, not because the incidences are low, obviously if you have a loan over 5 years, chances of you dying or becoming retrenched are fewer than if you have it over a 10-year period. So yes, the incidences are low, but over and above that, if people don't know, then they don't claim. So when we came into the market, the first and most important thing that we needed to do was to educate consumers and to really make them understand what credit life insurance was. It was a huge challenge. It continues to be. We've only been in the market for 18 months. It continues to be a huge challenge because, one, people are conscious or are sort of confused as to why my bank never told me that. So if I'm paying for credit life insurance already, why wouldn't they have told me that? So the point I always make to people is go and look at your policy, your statement. Just if you have a personal loan, look at your personal loan statement, because it actually does specify that your installment is broken into three different parts. The first one is payment towards your capital. The second one is payment towards your interest. And then the third one is payment towards your credit life insurance. But it goes to show how little reading we do as individuals when we get our terms and conditions and statements. And that's why people are still so sort of in the dark about it. So we've really had to do a lot of educating around it, and it's been an exceptionally difficult and expensive thing for us, because we are doing, Yalu is now doing an industry job, something that every other provider within the industry should be doing, but we've kind of taken it on ourselves to say we're going to have to educate consumers. If we want them to take up a Yalu policy, they first need to understand what's happening.
What do you think causes that, where we don't check our financial records? It's a very common thing to hear about amongst people, especially if you guys are now observing it.
Completely. And I think it's, like I said, I was a victim of it myself. I didn't know about credit life insurance until I worked in a business unit within FNB that was servicing credit life insurance. But I think it's, honestly, a lot of it is to do with laziness. A lot of it is to do with over trust. It's not to say we shouldn't trust our banks. Of course we should. I mean, they manage our money. But sometimes we trust too much. And other times we don't look for value when there's value to be looked for. So you'll hear in July is savings month, and people will talk about, you know, if you eat one less meal at a restaurant, or, you know, that's how people talk about finding savings. But actually, there's a lot of savings to be found if we start to educate ourselves around some of the financial services products that we have. If you look at your long-term insurance products, you know, if you look at your car insurance, is it reducing as you pay off your car? You know, so those kinds of things where you can actually find far bigger savings than not having a glass of wine every night. And I honestly think that as individuals, we tend to shy away from owning our own financial power. And it is actually something that we need to take responsibility for. It's kind of like how, you know what they say about parents leave their kids at school and they leave it up to the teachers to take responsibility of the kids in that period. We do the same with financial services. I put my money in the bank and I expect the bank to handle it until I need it. But it's our responsibility to continue to look for better value from the products that we have.
Now, what's the difference with the one that you guys offer at Yalu? Because I'm thinking now in terms of young business people out there who are starting something new. They're going to have credit like non-business, opening loans, because sometimes it's a solution. What would be the advantage of sort of seeking the answer through Yalu?
Okay, so there's three specific things that Yalu differentiates itself through. The first one is around affordability. And we speak of affordability because the Yalu Credit Life Insurance Plan reduces as your loan reduces. So as you pay off your loan, then you're paying less credit life insurance, or your installment for credit life insurance also declines, mm-hmm. right? While as in most cases, what you'll find is the amount that you pay on credit life insurance from the start of the loan is the exact same amount you'll pay until you don't really own any, until you have very little debt left. So let's assume you're paying 500 rand towards your loan, and of that, 250 goes towards credit life insurance, mm-hmm. right? And you took out, let's say your loan is 10,000 rand or whatever it is, you will continue to pay that 250 rand until you finished your loan. While as with Yalu, it will decline or decrease as you pay off your loan. So that's where we talk about affordability. The second bit is around simplicity. And when we talk simplicity, it's for the very fact that it has become so difficult, or it is so difficult for people to claim on that credit life insurance plan, because one, they don't know how to claim, they don't know where the details of where their claim is. It's really, really difficult, and we make it simple because for the very fact that we've created we've shone the light on credit life insurance itself, and we've created really simple processes and really simple terms and conditions. The third piece is reward. So at the end of the personal loan. Of your personal loan, and if you have a Yellow Credit Life Insurance plan, you will get 10% of your premiums back, which is something that none of the other credit life insurance providers do at the moment.
I'm feeling hella informed right now.
Very informed.
I want to go spend money. My next question, I guess, here would be, from what you've sort of observed, I mean, I know Yellow's been here for 18 months, but you've been in the kind of industry for such a long time. What have been some of the worst cases you've come across, without revealing names, obviously?
Gosh,
so I think there's something big to learn from some people.
But financial education is very important, and there's critical. Always up and downs. You know, there's always something happening, of course, when it comes to finances and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I can speak specifically to some of the things I've seen in Yalu. I mean, you get clients who are so over indebted. The other day we saw a client who had, and we're talking about unsecured debt here, so it's credit cards, it's personal loans. And this guy had over 500,000
Before we go any further, for those who might not know, what is unsecured debt?
Okay, so unsecured debt is debt that is not secured by an asset. So in other words, things like personal loans, credit cards, overdrafts, revolving loans, those are all unsecured because there isn't security behind the actual debt. Secured debt is where you have an asset that is linked to the debt itself.
Okay,
vehicle finance, home loans, if you are specifically financing some equipment, if you're a doctor, that kind of stuff, right? Now, you get customers, the one time we were really shocked, as a business, where you see customers that have over 500,000 rand worth of unsecured debt. That means personal loans and credit cards and revolving loans. That is a huge amount of debt. For somebody to have gotten to that point talks to just the lack of education and the lack of understanding around what the impact of having that amount of debt can be on you over the long haul. But then we also see cases of customers who could potentially save up to 32,000 rand. The other day I saw a customer who had taken up a Yalu policy, and when you take up a Yalu policy on the system, it automatically calculates what you're likely to save over the lifetime of your loan or over the lifetime of your credit product. And I looked
How is that calculated?
So it's what we do is the Yalu process, the website process when you take up your loan is linked to one of the credit bureaus. So automatically we're able to pull what loans you have at the moment. So all you do is you put in your details, your ID number. You give us permission to access your credit record. We go and we access your credit record and we say these are the loans that you have. We've done a lot of work in the background to try and understand what the charges are from the existing credit providers, and therefore we do a calculation for you to say this is what you would save over the lifetime of your loan if you move from your existing provider to Yalu, right? So we're able to actually give you a sense of what you save over the lifetime, but also what you would get back at the end. Remember I talked about the premiums back, what you would get back at the end. And I mean, we see customers, some of whom will save something like 30,000 rand over the lifetime of their loan, which means if you stay with your current provider, you would have paid an extra 30,000 rand towards credit life insurance that you may never ever claim from. So those are some of the scary things that we see. But one of the more challenging and even frustrating, if you like, issues that we face is the lack of cancellations from existing providers. So let's say you come, you have a personal loan. It is, by the way, mandatory. You have to have credit life insurance on personal loans for most providers. You have a personal loan, you have credit life insurance on the personal loan. Then you say, I want a Yalu credit life insurance plan. If you take up a Yalu credit life insurance plan, we have then made it easy enough for you to cancel your existing policy, and we don't charge you until such time that your existing policy has been cancelled, because then you know you don't want to be paying two premiums for two policies that you don't need. And we then start the entire process around getting the cancellation with your existing provider done. That is the most frustrating bit, has been, of course, that the current providers refuse to cancel, or they don't want to cancel. Holding on to the customer means more profit for them, right? But this is a customer specifically requesting that their credit life insurance be cancelled. And if you were to do it on your own, you would eventually give up. But because we have built expertise and experience, and we've really learned what some of these providers do, we kind of understand the process that one needs to follow. But it's still really difficult, because some of these providers take up to 60 days, 90 days to cancel. In that time, you're missing out on your savings. So it's something that is obviously very frustrating to customers, and is something that we are taking to task and owning as Yalu, to say, you know, we have to fight for customers' rights, and this industry has to do right by customers. After all, they've been making so much profit for all these years. Yeah. It's about time that, you know, customers stop getting the raw end of the deal.
Now, something we laugh about, but it's quite a serious issue. How often are young people actually seeking financial assistance? Because the stories you would hear about either someone in a business, or they're getting a high paycheck, or I'm opening my own thing.
I don't have enough money. Think about that.
So I'm talking about, they're under 35s now. How often do they actually seek financial assistance, and how important is it?
It's so interesting you ask that question. So I think young people are the biggest culprits around, you know, not educating ourselves or themselves. I'm no longer a young person. I wish I was, but I'm not.
Black, don't cry.
We don't do that.
So we, you know, it's actually really sad, because there is this perception, misconception, if you like, that, you know, I'm young and nothing's going to happen to me. Like, I'm indispensable. I'm always going to live. So we really tend to start the planning part of our financial management really later on. And that, you know, it's to our detriment, because it means that we only start to educate ourselves much later on, which means we could have saved a lot of money in the time that we were thinking, you know, we're indispensable. And what we found even at Yalu is our client base is the older generation, and it's not what we expected, because we expected that younger people would be a lot more comfortable engaging online and taking up a policy online. But there is a mental shift that is required amongst the young South Africans around managing their finances, not just around savings or insurance, in totality. You know, what is my financial state right now? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm in a much better position tomorrow? Because that's what financial planning is really about. It's about, I want to be in a better state than what I am tomorrow, or if I'm doing really well now, I want to be in the same state. I don't want to regress, right? And what we find is young people are not open to having the conversation. It is boring. It is, and yet we are probably the one generation with the most information at our fingertips. We don't use that information when it comes to things like financial services, which is really sad.
What do you think causes, is it really they find it boring, or is it just a what causes this sort of disengagement with the youth?
You know, that's an interesting question, and one that I probably don't have a cut out answer for, because I think it's an, you know, it's something that we need to learn about over time, and try to understand over time. Like I said, there's a definite need for a mental shift around making financial management a lot sexier, because young people just, you know, they're more interested in engaging with things that are of interest to them.
Yeah, it needs to be part of their lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I think that the thing that creates a discomfort for them is when they're feeling overwhelmed, and when they are also like a little bit scared because this information doesn't make sense. Because we want to always be seen as knowing everything about everything, you never want to put yourself out there asking questions about stuff, because gosh, now people are going to think I don't know stuff, you know. So it's not sexy, you know. Financial services itself to young people is not sexy enough to ask questions about. And I think we need to find a way as an industry to start engaging young people in platforms where they are at, but also in a way that most interests them. So it doesn't make sense, or it makes no difference if I'm going to put my advertising on Instagram, because that's where young people are, but it's still the same old visuals and the same, you know, wording that I'd be using even if I had a print ad. It's got to talk to the fundamentals of who and what young people are and what they find interesting, and it's got to relate to their reality. And I think that's a huge job that marketers, or a huge task that marketers within financial services find themselves really having to work with, and they struggle with.
And where can youth find you online? Actually, I think that's the most important thing now. Where can they have this conversation other than, you know, here listening to the podcast?
Yeah, so it's on www.yalu.co.za, and then on all social media platforms it's at @yalu.sa. And you know, on the website we've actually got the ability for you to engage with one of our agents right up front. So as you get onto the website, a pop-up comes up, and you know, you can actually talk to one of our agents right there, and they are able to respond to you. And it's not a robot, by the way.
I was about to ask, is it a bot? Because I saw something today about some bots not being able to answer questions, and it was
no,
a mess.
No. We actually have individuals that are sitting behind and answering every single question that comes through on the website. So I would encourage them to at the very least have the conversation, right? Even if you're not going to take the policy,
just to understand,
explore and understand, and you at least have an idea of what you could potentially be saving.
Well, I'm giving up on keeping fit at the gym, but I'll definitely focus on keeping fit financially.
Exactly.
Thank you so much again for joining us. I think we could have this conversation all day, honestly.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think let's cut
it.
Trust
me. It's like a 360 days.
It is. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I've loved it. Thank
sure
you.
Thing.